appreciate, and I, again, like I said in Sunday school, appreciate this church and your testimony. And I was sitting there in May, and I realized I'd graduated from Bible college 40 years ago, and I thought, how can I be that old? Amen. Where has 40-some years gone in our life? But, you know, it's good to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter number 3. We were in Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Just a couple things. Appreciate this church, your prayers for us and the ministry God's given us. Over the last few years, a couple people asked me, so I'll just update you. Over the last few years, we've had some health issues. I guess probably been going almost 5 years, hadn't done 4 years, something like that. Well, they finally diagnosed it a few years ago as a very rare autoimmune disease. It's called Isaac's syndrome. And what it does, in the short terminology, is when your brain tells the nerve to send an impulse to your muscle to move, you know, it sends that impulse and then your muscle moves. Well, what this does is it, when it goes to send that impulse, it goes at a rapid fire pace and doesn't stop. So what happens then is your muscles say, that's enough of that, and it just seizes up. And the doctor said, don't call what you have muscle cramps, because they cramps don't even come close to what you have. And so we've been dealing with that for the last several years. It starts in your feet is one of the first places. Your vision goes crazy and all kinds of stuff. And so it's fun driving with me, amen. And but my wife has been closer to God than she's ever been, amen. But the good news of that is we've been back and forth with it, back and forth with it. And some years at camp, I'd preach at Camp Victory. And a couple years ago, Brother Scott Hall had to help me off the platform. It just got so bad. But the last fall, it got bad again, and I called the neurologist we deal with. I said, is there nothing else we can do? And she goes, well, we can try this. And I said, okay, I'm in for it. And they put me in the hospital, and they do what they call an infusion treatment, and they infuse your body with a particular compound of antibodies that they say will help this. And so I went in Monday. They did the first infusion 4 hours Monday night. Tuesday morning, my wife came in, and she goes, you're looking better. I said, I feel better. Wednesday, the neurologist came in. She goes, you are markedly improved. I said, I know. And Wednesday morning, the occupational therapist came in to put me through occupational therapy. And she did a bunch of stuff. And she said, why are you here? I said, I'm beginning to wonder that myself. Amen. And so God has just restored a measure of health. I still have issues with it. I had issues with it a little bit last night, but not what it was. And so we're excited about that. My wife said she feels like the stagecoach driver on the old westerns, you know. Now that that happened, she's going, whoa, buddy, whoa. You know, this 7 weeks in a row is what got you in trouble the last time. Whoa, buddy, you know, whoa. And so we're trying to figure that out. And my wife's going through some health issues with her legs. And so God's good, amen. I have no complaints, and so praise the Lord. I at camp, I told them, I said, I haven't been able to do that in a long time, and they just looked at me kind of funny, amen. And so, but we had a good time at camp. We won't say anything about boys in front of Aaron, but anyhow, no, not really, amen. I'm just kidding, amen. I won't say anything, amen. Ephesians chapter 3, I'll get me in trouble, amen. She paid me $50 not to, but anyhow, no, not really. But thank you for your support and involvement in the prayers this week. And it won't be just this week. It's going to be an ongoing battle for the next few months to see where it all settles out. But it is my privilege to stand with these guys. And it's exciting to see what God can do. And I believe God's not done yet. Amen? Ephesians chapter number 3. You come to this verse, I'm going to read a couple verses. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and start reading in verse number 7. He said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for these folks, this church, this place that You've risen up in this community for the cause of Christ. And I pray, Father, now that You would meet with us, that You would speak to us through Your Word. Pray, Father, You would use Your servant as a vessel to pour out Yourself to Your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Paul begins to explain some things to the church at Ephesus, and he talks in verse number 7 about how he's been made a minister of Christ, a minister of God. And it's an interesting passage of Scripture, because then he goes on to say in verse number 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And I would challenge you, go home and read through Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and underline every time Paul talks about the mystery of God. And when you think about what he's talking about, and to me in simple terms, to the world, what we do here today is a great mystery. I mean, they don't understand what would get you out of bed on Sunday morning, make you come to Sunday school and come to church, come back tonight, come to Wednesday night service, go stand on a street corner with a sign and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. They don't understand. It's a mystery to them because they don't know Jesus Christ. When they finally come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, then all of a sudden they understand the mystery of God that was in Jesus Christ. You know, When I think about my dad. My dad, for years, when I got saved, and my mom and dad weren't going to church, and our family didn't go to church, and I got saved, we started going to church and went to church all the time, and they didn't know what was wrong with me, because I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just went all the time. And then God calls me to preach, and I really lost my mind. Amen. And I go off to Bible college, and we come back, and everything was really good when I pastored in West Virginia, because we were, you know, 10 or 12 miles down the road. Now, they never came to church, but they would, you know, it was good to have a preacher down the road when you needed him, amen. And then I lost my mind again. I resigned the church and went to work with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry and started traveling all over the world. And when I told my dad, he looked at me and he said, "You're insane." He said, "You're throwing your life down the tubes. You're throwing it away." And they would never ask. I'd go preach in some country, come back and call them, tell them I'm back. And they said, "We're glad you're home." They'd never ask what happened, never ask anything. Then my dad got sick in October of a year, in 2003, had to have surgery. He had an aneurysm on his aorta to his heart, had to have surgery. And he never, ever recovered from that surgery. I walked in the rehabilitation center in Morgantown, West Virginia one day, and he was sitting on the edge of the bed, and he looked up and he said, "You've been right all the time." I said, "Right about what?" He said, "Last night, right here, I got saved." We'd witness to him, we'd talk to him. I mean, my kids would witness to him, talk to him, amen. And he got saved, and for the first time in his life, he understood the mystery of God. He understood what made us tick, what made us do what we do. Folks, that's Paul's addressing this to the church. He said there's this mystery of God that the world does not understand, but there's a reason God has revealed it to us. And he goes on and he says here in verse number 10, that to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, and those are the ones he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, those principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and the wickedness of this world. He said, to this intent that these principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Did you ever wonder why this church is here? 30 years. You said church celebrating 30 years anniversary. That's intriguing because the church I pastor in West Virginia, the same Sunday in December, the first Sunday in December, will celebrate 40 years. And you would say, why would God raise up a church and like this? And why would He give him this, give you this building and this congregation of people? Why is this church here? So we got a place to go and have a good time and go and sit down on Sunday and see all of our friends. And we got a place where we can go and give our money and support missionaries. And we got a place where we can go and the preacher can preach to us and we can hear the things of God. There is a reason, and the number one reason that the church is here is found in this verse. He said that God has exposed us and revealed to us this mystery of God, how that Jesus Christ came and died for us and gave His life for us that we could have salvation and we can go to heaven when we die and God can have a relationship with us through Jesus Christ. And the world looks at us and we're like we're nuts, but God wants to reveal to the world this wisdom, this mystery. And so he says in verse 10, he said, to the intent now that in the heavenly, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. And notice this phrase, the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to reveal to the world His wisdom. And how's He going to do that? Through Bible Baptist Church. Huh? I mean, listen, I'm from West Virginia. Go ahead and say amen. I mean, I speak two languages. I speak hillbilly and English, and I'm not too sure about English, amen. And so I look up words, and if you look up in a Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word wisdom, it says prudence, discretion, the capacity to understand and to choose wisely. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 8. He said in verse 7, man, we have forgiveness of sin, redemption through His blood, and a forgiveness of our sins. And he says in verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The ability to understand and the ability to make the right decisions. He says in later in Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Hey, folks, listen. First Corinthians 1, he says this, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he says, or chapter 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. God has a way of doing things, and we ought to operate the way God does it, amen. And the wisdom of God has been imparted to us. We understand it according to Proverbs that the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. And God has imparted to us wisdom, the prudence, the understanding, the ability to make the right decisions. Now, God wants to reveal that to the world, and He wants to use the church to do that. Isn't that interesting? He said, we're here to tell the world about Jesus Christ and win the world to Jesus Christ. No, you're here to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Amen. Let God win the world to Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. But our job is to tell Him. Amen. But our job is also to demonstrate the wisdom of God. So that the world, in this crazy world that we live at, and we're living in such a crazy world where, you know, marriage is so being so marred and its definition is trying to be so distorted that the world needs to understand what marriage is and needs to understand what it ought to be, and the place they need to come to find it and understand it has to be the church. Hello? Listen, I could tell you stories that make your hair stand up, amen, about things that are going on that we're defining of marriage. I saw an article the other day where a guy in some western state is petitioning the state to let him marry his horse. Wants to have a legal marriage. And the world is distorting marriage, is distorting the things of God. And where is the world going to see the wisdom of God? It has to be here. Amen? So God, why did God put this church here? To put one place of sanity in all the insanity of this world. Amen? That people ought to be able to know and understand and detect that if they come here, they're going to get the truth of the Word of God. And there's no doubt about that. And they're going to see not just getting the truth of the Word of God, that they're going to see people that demonstrate the wisdom of God and make the right decisions and live the way they're supposed to live and act the way they're supposed to act and do what they're supposed to do in their lives and be the citizens they're supposed to be and be husbands they're supposed to be and the mothers they're supposed to be and the fathers they're supposed to be. And the children are supposed to be. Where are they going to see this? They've got to see it at the church of the living God. Amen. But you know, sometimes it's not that way, is it? And churches have bought into this thinking that you've got to go the way of the world and you've got to get the world's music and you've got to drop any standards you got about anything and any convictions you got about anything to draw the crowd. The world doesn't need you to draw a crowd. The world needs this church to stand true on the Word of God and demonstrate the wisdom of God. Amen? Now, the wisdom of God is a mystery to them, but if they ever come, they know there's something different. They ever come, they sense there's something different about this church. Why? Because it leads me into the next thought. I read this and I thought it was interesting. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Listen to that statement again. He said, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. See, the wisdom is you choose that I'm going to live right. My wife and I celebrated 46 years of marriage, and I looked at her the other day. I said, honey, come the second Friday night in October, we're going to go do something. Because it will be 50 years when I walked in her house and asked her daddy if I could date her. 50 years. Man. I was reading that obituary about that guy that died, Brother Bobby Bowden. He'd been married to his wife 72 years. I can't imagine, man. I can't imagine being 72 years old and married to the same lady. You know what that says to the world? It works. It works. Some young couple sitting on a pew. What's so important about your life right now, brother, is your kids watching you and seeing that it works. Amen? They see the wisdom of God to choose the highest goal and then go for it. And that goal is the relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? We do a lot of work with young people in our summits coming up. And I've polled young people and I've talked to them and I've did surveys and read books. You know what the number one reason that the average young person says they're dropping out of church is? The inconsistency that they see in the leadership in front of them. The inconsistency they see at dad at church and dad at home. What is wrong at church is not wrong at home. The inconsistency they see in the pulpit. The inconsistency they see in Sunday school teachers. God sent them here to get the wisdom of God. Well, let me go on. They got real quiet right there. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. So what is it? Why is this church here? Number one, to demonstrate the wisdom to display or the wisdom of God. Then you get to Ephesians chapter 3 a little later in that passage of Scripture because he said it was the eternal purpose of God in verse number 11. And then he says in verse number 20 of chapter 3, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, there's two connecting verses. He says in verse 7, he said, I've been made a minister of Christ and of God. He said, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now he says in verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us, and God gives us the power of God. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit of God. We possess within us the power of an almighty God. He says in Acts chapter number 1, all that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We possess the power of God in us. Amen. The question is that power of God working in you? Is that not what he said? He said in verse 7, according to the work, effectual working of His power, verse number 20, He said, according to the power that worketh in us. We possess this power. We have this power. But the question is, what is this power doing with us and through us in our lives? In Colossians 1, He said, whereunto I am also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. He says in Ephesians 1:19, and what is this exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? We possess the power of God in us, and then when we congregate together as a church, we now collectively come together with the power of God working in us, and then what happens is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, that there's glory in the church. Where does the glory in the church come? It comes from the effectual working of the power of God in each one of us. It's not just come to church and see what God's going to do through the preacher. It's not just come to church and see what God's going to do through the visiting preacher or somebody that sings. It ought to be us seeking what is the effectual working of the power of God in us. And then when we collectively come together, that power working in us individually becomes a visual demonstration of the power of God collectively in this place. And the world steps back and says, wow, what just happened here? Huh? Somebody said to me one day, why do you keep going back to Camp Victory? Because undoubtedly, at some time, God shows up. Amen? I know you probably told your dad about it, but that Tuesday night I was there preaching was about as unusual as anything I've seen. I mean, Brother Blake gets up to preach, and the man was just about ready to have a fit. I mean, he was beside himself, and he gets up and preaches on hell. And man, God showed up in that place, and people, young people started coming forward, and there were 17 young people saved during the service. I go back when Brother Griffiths and I were sitting there talking about it afterwards, and he said, you remember that night? And I said, yeah, I remember the night. We were having camp, and on this side of the auditorium was sitting a busload of kids from Detroit, Michigan. I'll never forget, they pulled in there, and this one kid got off the bus. He goes, man, I ain't never seen this much grass that wasn't in a bag in my life. This other kid walks off the bus, and his youth director said, yeah, last time I saw him, it was on the 11 o'clock news. He's running down the street with a TV under his arm. And we got this crowd sitting on this side, and on this side is this the church that brought 20-some kids from the Christian school. And don't get mad at me, but they thought they knew everything. Amen? I'm sitting on the platform with Brother Griffiths, and I said, he said, you're going to preach? I said, no, you're the camp director. You got to preach. I don't want to preach. He said, but you're here at my invitation. You got to do what I tell you to, and you're going to preach. And we're sitting on the platform arguing about who's going to preach. And about in the middle of that argument, there were about 10 girls sitting on this side of the auditorium just stood up without any prompting from anybody but the Holy Spirit of God and began to sing at the top of their lungs, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. And they sang through that whole song, and they didn't even hesitate, got done, and began to sing a second song. And when they began to sing that second song, this young man in the back corner over there got up, and he said, I can't stand this no more. And he ran to an altar, and that thing broke out and lasted to almost midnight. And when it was all settled and done, we'd had 19 kids saved. We had 16 young men surrendered to the mission, surrendered to the ministry in that service. What was it? A demonstration of the power of God. The world needs to see the power of God And God said, I've chosen to work through you here. Hello? If you go through that circle of young ladies that did that tonight, I think 8 of the 10 or 12 of them are in ministry somewhere, married to a preacher. Huh? When's the last time God showed up so real in a service? That people that didn't know God went, wow. Wow. But it starts with us. See? The preacher doesn't bring it in when he comes. He brings the effectual working of the power in his life. You bring the effectual working of the power in your life. You bring the effectual working of the power of your life. You bring the effectual working of the power in your life. And when God congregates that all together, something amazing can happen. Hello? I remember one day when I pastored, and I'll go on. I remember one day when I pastored, I get done preaching, and this guy comes walking in the back of the auditorium. He said, I ain't talk to you, preacher. I said, okay. He said, I got saved this morning. Listen, you preach on the radio. I said, oh, good. Praise the Lord. He said, I sat down on the swing in the back of my house. Listen, you preach on the radio. Got saved. He said, now what do I do? I said, well, you need to tell this whole congregation of people. So he came to service that night. He got up. He said, I want to tell you how I got saved. And people began to go, wow. People began to go, wow, I didn't know this guy. I mean, he had quite a reputation in that area. I mean, he was a pretty rough guy, and God got a hold of him, saved his soul. He was a grave digger by trade. He dug them by hand. He didn't use a backhoe. He dug them by hand. And then he was a pretty stout guy. And he said, now, I said, what do I do now? I said, you get baptized. And so I went to baptize him. He liked to kill me because I told him just to lean back. And he was so excited about getting baptized, he arched his back and dove backwards. Like to pull me right under with him, amen. And so we got it. But I'll tell you what, he'd go with me. He said, come on, preacher, we gotta go see a friend of mine. And he'd take me to visit the people he used to drink with, people he used to run around and do things with. We'd witness to them, people would get saved. What is that? That's the effectual working of the power of God in one man that so changed the service of a church and changed our church for a long time. So the world needs to see the power of God. Where are they going to see it? Where are they going to see it at? I thought this was interesting. I read this story about a man who was a missionary. He went to the mission field, and he got there, and he was replacing the senior missionary. And so the senior missionary that was there getting ready to leave the field, he showed him everything, and he said, now, let me show you the car that goes with this that you're going to be using. We'll leave it with you. And he said, okay. And so he shows him the car and everything. And he said, okay, so now we're going to go visiting. So he takes the car and he pushes it to get it started. You know, in those days, pushes it to get it started. It was drifting down the hill. He pops a clutch. It starts. So everywhere they would go the next couple of weeks, this senior missionary showing the junior missionary what to do, the new missionary what to do, they'd park that car on a hill or park it on a slope where they could drift it, you know. And so one day he said, well, what's wrong with this car? And he said, I really don't know. He said, do you mind if we look? He said, no, I don't look. So he lifted the hood and he said, I believe the trouble is you have a loose cable to your battery. He cleaned the battery cable, tightened it up. He said, try it. And it started immediately. The man had been operating the vehicle for all these years, pushing it down a hill or letting it drift down a hill, pushing it down a slope to get it started because it wasn't connected to the battery. It wasn't connected to the source of power. I believe we got a lot of Christians showing up for church. You're just coasting through and you're having trouble getting started. And the problem is you're not connected to the power source. It's there. The battery was in the vehicle, but it wasn't connected. And sin and the world and the cares of this world disconnect us from the power source of God. We wake up 6, 8 months a year in our lives and We're sitting on a church pew and never feeling the power of God in our life. The world comes here to see the wisdom of God, the power of God. Now look here in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll try to tie it together. I don't preach very long anymore. I preach my stature short. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25, it's a familiar verse. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." The Bible talks a lot about love, does it not? He said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." And we want to sit around and we want to talk about how God demonstrated his love to us through Jesus Christ. And God loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But where is the world really going to see love? If they don't come to church and find it, where are they going to find it? Galatians 1 and verse 4, he said, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world and according to the will of God and our Father." Then Paul talks about in Galatians chapter number 2, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." But then Paul talks about in Timothy, and interesting, go to 1 Timothy. I want you to see this. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice what he says. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, he said, "Now the end of the commandments is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Then look at verse 6, "from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling." Some have swerved away from what? The end of the commandment, charity out of a pure heart. The world needs to see wisdom. The world needs to see the power of God. And the world needs to see the love of God. And where are they going to see it? Right here. When I think of that, and you could read other verses, but when I think of that, I think of the two instances that happened in my life, and they just ring back every time I think about that. I was preaching in a church many years ago, and this lady came to church, and she came in, and she sat down, and man, I mean, I'm preaching, she is weeping, she's crying, God's convicting her heart, you know, and you're sitting there thinking, man, this lady's ready to get saved, and we gave the invitation, and I said, "If you need to be saved, raise your hand." She raised her hand, but she didn't come, and so we finished the service finally, and I'm standing back at the door with the pastor, and she comes back, and she shakes my hand. She goes, "Preacher," she's still crying. She said, "Preacher, I know I need to get saved. There's just some things I need to deal with and things I need some answers about." And I'm standing there thinking, Brother Lethe, praise the Lord, here's somebody. This pastor's got a place he can go this afternoon or whenever and with his wife and visit. Man, this is exciting. And then she steps by me, and the pastor takes her by the hand, and he looks at her and he says, "Ma'am," said, "we're glad you're here, but," said, "there's something I need to tell you." He said, "We have certain convictions about the way ladies ought to dress when they come to church." And she wasn't dressed like that, but she wasn't saved. She wasn't a mature Christian. And so he begins to explain to her. And then she steps out the door and leaves. "I got no sense, brother." I said, "Do you have an office?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Could we talk?" So we go back to his office. I said, "What are you doing? I have conviction. I understand where you come from, but I'm here to tell you the lady's lost. She ain't never coming back here. She didn't need your standards and convictions. She needed salvation. She needed somebody to show her the love of God. He said, we ain't supporting you. I said, I don't care. I don't care if you even tell me to leave. I don't. That's insanity. Oh? Folks, listen. The world's beaten and battered. We wonder why they live the way they do. They live the way they do because they're following their father, the devil. They act the way they do because of this world. They don't need us to condemn them. They need us to love them. Amen? Hey, folks, listen. I was in a church one time, too, the same type of thing. I was in a church and back in those years when I was doing prison ministry, and this guy had got saved at prison. And I'm preaching in this church, a few miles down the road from this prison. And he shows up on Sunday morning, comes to service. Man, I'm excited. I see this guy, he got saved in prison. Praise the Lord. He's got a shirt and a tie on. He comes in, the pastor goes, he looks at me, he goes, look, preacher, there's a visitor, man. He said, look at him, all dressed up. He said, them's the kind we're looking for. And I thought, if you only knew, amen. So they're all excited. And so he comes in, he's by himself. This guy comes over to him and says, hey, brother, you're visiting? Yeah, come over and sit with me. So they sit down in a pew together, and the guy introduces me to preach, and I get up, and I said, man, it's good to be here, and it's so good to see Brother So-and-so. Called the guy by name. And they're all like, you know him? I said, the last time I saw him was when he got saved down at the prison. God is my witness. The man that invited him to sit with him got up and moved to the other end of the pew. And that was it for me. I said, you want it? This man came to see the love of God. And what did he see? Huh? When the prodigal son came back, his father didn't run to him and give him a 15-minute lecture. He ran to him and fell on his neck and hugged him and kissed him. Put another ring on his finger, put another robe on his back, put new shoes on his feet, had a big celebration. And the pious, religious, older son was mad and upset. I've heard that in church. Preacher pays more attention to them new converts than he does us. The world needs to see the love of God. A certain medieval preacher announced that he would be preaching the next Sunday on the love of God. The shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the windows of the church. The congregation gathered. In the darkness of the altar, the preacher lighted a candle and carried it to the cross and set it at the foot of the cross. On that cross was an illuminated crown of thorns, the two blood-stained places where his hands were, the blood-stained places where his feet were, and a hush fell over the crowd. He blew out the candle and left the cathedral. He said, there's nothing else to say. The world knows the love of God on a cross, but do they know the love of God in this church? Amen. God has put this church here for a reason. I don't know why I came to this passage of Scripture. I'd argued with God all night. Why is this church here? So the world can see the wisdom of God. They can experience the power of God. And they can feel the love of God. Preached in church one time, and this lady came over and she goes, you got to talk to our pastor. I said, why? He said, he's got to quit running them buses. I said, why? He said, well, a bunch of these bus kids was here last Sunday, and they were playing tag outside, ran around the corner of the church and knocked the downspout loose. He said, we got to quit running these buses. I said, I'll pray. Let's pray. She said, okay. And I said, Lord, I think if a pastor has a vision to reach young people and do something for God, would you not let them just run one bus? Would you give them two or three more? Lady didn't want me to pray no more. She left. Amen. We got kids showing up from broken homes. Don't know who mom and dad is. And they need to see the love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. I appreciate this church. And I just wanted to be an encouragement to them today. They've been such a blessing and encouragement to us through these years. And I pray, Father, that you just speak to each and every one of us. May we examine our lives and ask ourselves, do we walk in the wisdom of God? Do we walk in the power of God? Are we a demonstration of the love of God? Speak to our lives today, Father, as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.